Set for Success with Richard Lennon on 680 CJOB.
Richard Lennon for, hello, it's Richard Lennon for Set for Success, and welcome to the show. Now, this is where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life. You know what? I am very fortunate. I get to speak to a lot of business professionals, leaders, and entrepreneurs. And once I get to know them a little bit, I like to ask them all sorts of questions like, you know, what are their challenges? And I think they have many that they don't often get to discuss, and many decisions to make. And, you know, even things around like what's happening in the economy and how it's all impacting them. And their answers actually vary in many different ways. But there's many things on their minds, and with good reason. You know, some of the questions I get to ask, you know, what should we be investing in, or where's your business going, or what are the tools that you're actually using in your business, and what about your people? Do you have the right people involved in your organization? There's actually all sorts of good questions that one can ask, and for many good reasons. One of my favorite things to do is to set up a scenario. Love scenarios. I like to ask this question here. It is 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning. You wake up. What are you thinking about? Now, I don't know about you, but pretty much I don't know who sleeps through the night, and people have a lot of things on their mind. So what's on your mind? And often hear a lot about what's working right and sometimes what the key challenges are. And unfortunately, for few people sleep through the night anymore, especially when they're carrying the whole weight of their company on their shoulders and all the things they need to do. So, I mean, I understand the reason overall. I guess you could say it's lonely at the top, or maybe it's not easy to be isolated. So we all need somebody to talk to, and whether it's for the company or your career or life. So I suggest to business leaders, or even in your career, find someone you can chat with, somebody you can trust, and tell them what is going on, if anything, to take part of the burden off your shoulders and so that you live a bit of a healthier and happier life. So here's the scoop. Today I'm going to be chatting with my friend, Derek Johansson. I'm going to wait for you to come in there. Now, Derek is also an admitted serial entrepreneur. I like saying that. He actually suggests him right on his LinkedIn page. He says he's a serial entrepreneur, and he has had many common challenges in business. He's been very fortunate, been very successful. So, Derek, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard.
So, Derek, I mean, I always like to start off with the key question, and you've actually hung out with me before. I know we did a show about a year ago where we talked about family and business and working with family members in business, and so that has its challenges. And then I think another year prior to that, we talked about technology and business. But I think it would probably be a good idea to set things up and just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, Derek Johansson, born and raised here in Winnipeg. I have been blessed to start 7 different businesses during my business career. And through that process, have worked with some amazing people that, you know, care about the success of the business and this great community of Winnipeg.
So you've been very fortunate. Now, what is the organization that you're involved in right now?
Today, it is called Carlisle Printer Service and Supplies.
Okay, and so how long has that been around?
This is actually our 10th anniversary.
That's a happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So what's gotten you to like 10 years?
Hard work. Very hard work. Yeah. We had a company, actually. This is a bit of a repeat. My father, when I was in my early 20s, and myself and my mother started a business called Carlisle Computer Products in 1980, and built that company from the basement of my father's house in Transcona to be the largest computer supplies company in Canada with 7 offices across Western Canada. We sold that business in 1997, and now, 9 years later, my boys finished business school, and we were looking for something to do, and we started this Carlisle Printer Service and Supplies right from scratch with 0 customers.
So did you start in your basement just like your dad?
No, fortunately, at that point, we had another business called New World Technologies, and so we moved the 2 boys into that business, and so they had at least a roof over their head.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that. Like, I always like to check my guests out on, well, Google, right? You always check people out in Google, well, you know, in a good way. You need to know them professionally. And your stuff came up in LinkedIn, and I noticed the Carlisle services and that you're doing. Sorry, I think I just got the name of your company wrong. Carlisle Printer Services and Supplies. But then I saw New World Technology. Is that company still operating?
No, we wrapped that company up. That company was a remanufacturer of laser printer toner cartridges.
Okay.
And it's a great example of how technology, or how the world around changes, and the technology or the working environment can either move a business up or out.
Yes.
In New World Technologies' case, It moved it out. So okay. We eventually sort of wrapped that up, and the remnants of it in the last days, we actually merged into Carlisle Printer Service and Supplies.
Is there, you know, that's an interesting piece, wrapping a business up, because maybe we'll start here before we talk about the other topic, because I know we're going to talk about business growth and culture and all those things are important. But when you have a business that you're wrapping up on an individual basis, like you must have a lot invested in that. I'm not talking about just financially. I'm talking about like emotionally and the whole life and everything too. What is that experience like?
That is not a particularly positive experience, and
okay.
I certainly wouldn't like to do it again. But you know, I think often businesses don't sort of see the writing on the wall, and they end up hanging on too long, and ultimately go bankrupt, or which impact negatively, you know, the community around them that they've worked. In our case, it was a very organized, orchestrated process, as we saw the sales revenue going down, primarily because of a very strong Canadian dollar. And really a change in the marketplace where the consolidation of our customer base by big U.S. organizations. So we, for example, one of our clients for New World was a company called, everyone knows Grandin Toy.
Oh, yeah, big company.
Yeah, and they were bought out by Boise Cascade. In that early days, they were continuing to have all the controls in Toronto, and so New World Technologies basically provided them with all their remanufactured cartridges across the country. And in 2006, that situation changed as that Boise Cascade company was bought by another large office products company called Office Max. And they head office was in Chicago, and basically moved all of the contract purchasing to Chicago. And now we're not really interested in a Canadian provider to the Canadian operation. They were interested in a global provider. And we just weren't of scale to be able to handle all of Grandin Toy's business and Office Max in the U.S. So we got kind of squeezed out by the U.S. supplier.
Yeah, and they made a lot of changes. I mean, that's a great example of an external economic force going against your business where you have to actually make changes based on the measurements and that. So, I mean, good for you guys that you're actually able to identify those kind of things. It actually brings sort of a very interesting question right now, because you've been now 10 years with Carlisle and that. And so what have been some of the things that have actually helped in terms of your growth?
Well, actually, the biggest one, and it was really surprising in the earliest days, is the fact that we continued to use that Carlisle. So it was Carlisle Computer Products. And then when we reinvented ourselves, it was Carlisle Printer Service and Supplies.
Okay.
And so we would go into organizations and they'd say, Carlisle, oh, I know you. I used to buy all my stuff from you. And so it was a gateway of that branding carrying over from 9 years ago.
You know what? This is Richard Lannan. You're listening to Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Derek Johansson around business growth. How's that sound, Derek?
Sounds terrific.
We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our second segment. You know, I'm sitting here chatting with Derek Johansson today, serial entrepreneur, and we've been talking a bit about business and some of the things that they've done in terms of their history. Now, Derek, just before break, we started just to get into the whole topic of business growth. You know, and so I always like to define terms for our listeners. So I guess, you know, what is business growth? Why don't we start there?
Well, for our organization, there's really just two components of growth. And growth is basically, am I doing more than I did yesterday?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Top line, revenues, sales, and bottom line, profit. So we have targets for both of those, and we kind of work our way through that process. We have a very orchestrated process of driving our top line and bottom line.
Okay. Can you speak to a little bit about what that process is?
Happy to. You know, and it really is quite simple and straightforward, and it's something that I guess many organizations do it, but we basically look in three areas. One is finding more customers. So we have targets on reaching out, telling our story, and trying to get new customers to buy our services, which, like in our name, is printers, you know, primarily HP and Lexmark and Canon copiers, service for those printers, and supplies, toner and paper for that print environment. So one is let's find some new customers. Number two is to sell more. We call it share a wallet. So if we're in an organization and we are providing them with their toner cartridges and copy paper, which is traditionally a way we start our relationship with a customer. Then we move on to say, you know, you have these printers and copiers, you know, we'd be happy to service them if they come down. So we expand our relationship to do their service work. And then finally, when that copier or printer needs to be replaced, we want to be the company that they come to replace that piece of hardware.
Yeah, so what I hear you say is that the lesson learned here is that you've been able to integrate yourself into existing customers by following almost like a three-point strategy, like the three legs of the stool. Is that a fair analogy?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what has that meant for your business growth over the years?
Well, it's significant because, you know, again, unique in to Carlisle in this space of printing, we have the reoccurring revenue of paper and toner cartridges, and then the situational revenue of hardware purchase or a copier purchase. So you have that spike with that, but it's a one-timer.
And yeah, it's like a capital cost for another company. They just buy or they lease or whatever it is, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But we have this reoccurring. So we have a ongoing relationship, which most of our competitors that are in the hardware game don't have that sort of reoccurring relationship. So that's our area of get new customers, get a share wallet with our existing customers. Then the other opportunity is, you know, actual product line extension extension.
Okay, so what is a product line extension?
So if, for example, I am selling them a piece of equipment, an extension would be the surge suppressor that you would plug that equipment in to make sure that they don't have any disruptions because of surges or brownouts.
Lightning storms or those kind of things are electrical. When you say brownouts, electrical storms, those kind of things?
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Another example would be in the paper space. We sell the traditional 8.5x11 copy paper.
Yeah, the white stuff.
But exactly, the white stuff. But the expansion of that is to get into specialty papers. So into 20 heavier weights, brighter paper. So there's 24, 28 pound. There's glossy finish. There's text finishes. So you expand the product line to be able to offer more to that existing customer base and the new customers that you're continually bringing on.
So I'm always interested in lesson learned for our listeners. So what is the generic lesson learned that you can provide to the listeners in terms of looking at their business and the three-legged stool approach, because that's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, I think that the biggest lesson we've learned is that the product line extensions come out of conversations with customers.
Okay.
So understanding, you know, what the person that you're dealing with, everything that they do. So often we're dealing with office managers that are doing the procurement in the office environment and realize that part of the printing that gets done, that office is on a plotter. Mm-hmm. And that's the engineering or the drafting department. So getting the introduction to one of our stakeholders in the company and being introduced to a second so we can expand the product line and the services that we can offer that organization.
So when is the decision made to focus on expanding the relationship? When does that happen in your timeline of things?
Well, it happens right when we start talking to them. Like
okay.
Our first interview with a client, we use Salesforce as our
for tracking their sales. Yeah, you can Google that, Salesforce, on the internet. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that it would track all of the conversations inside that electronic format. We would try to understand who are the different contacts and what areas tied to our specific products and services. Because often it's not the same person. And I think that's where people miss the opportunity. They get everything they can that Bob can buy, but they don't realize that Jane in the same organization buys a whole nother set of goods that are natural for you to be providing that customer. But because you don't have been introduced to Jane or asked the question, you know, who's the person that handles your plotter supplies, you miss that opportunity totally.
Yeah, so you've had some, by applying this particular strategy to the organization over 10 years, you've had a lot of opportunity for business growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I guess that sort of poses a very interesting question, because with business growth and expansion of employees and everything, there comes other challenges, and I think those challenges are along the lines of the people side. Would that be correct?
Yeah, absolutely. As our organization is now 30 people.
Okay.
And it's every person you add adds another dynamic.
You know what? That's a great spot to take a break. We'll come back and talk about every person you add adds another dynamic. This is Richard Landon for Set for Success, and we'll be right back.
From Fort White to Fort Gibraltar, connected for over 70 years, 680 CJOB.
Hello, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life. Now, there's all sorts of different parts of being success and or be successful in what you do. And I think one of the things I've learned over time and through talking to my different guests is that it just does really sort of matter in how you define what success is. Now, today, we're talking about it from a business perspective, business growth, business culture, with my guest, Derek Johansson, a serial entrepreneur. And I suspect that this man's been through some peaks, valleys, and detours along the way, and he's probably seen the good, the bad, and the unexpected. So when we actually do return, we'll continue our discussion on that and figure out maybe how you work together, unravel complex issues, make better decisions, and maybe establish a common direction for your organization. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we will be right back.
Sadie, CJOB.
Hello, and welcome back to the show. Now, if you're just tuning in, my guest today is Derek Johansson. And Derek, I keep calling you a serial entrepreneur, but I need a few more other nicknames for you over there. So maybe I'll have to call up your wife and say, okay, what are some of Derek's nicknames?
Don't do that.
Don't do that? Not a good idea. Well, we're going to have some fun with it, right? So, you know what? Just before our break, we were starting to talk a little bit about the impact on culture from business growth. But during the break, we had an interesting side discussion. We started talking a little bit about acquisition, mergers and acquisitions in terms of an approach to actually growing your business. So before we get into anything about the culture and the impact on people, why don't we talk a little bit more about other means to grow your business? And obviously, acquisition is a means to do that. And, you know.
No, absolutely. You know, acquisitions are an opportunity to take a step up, you know, as far as the growth pattern is. If organic is going to be 5, 10, 15% a year with your existing base, but to jump from 10 million to 12 million, you know, do a $2 million acquisition and you're now at the next stop. And that's what, frankly, large corporations do it time and time again. The challenge is that in order for an acquisition to be successful, you really need to have not only a business match, but you have to have a cultural match.
Oh, okay, so they go hand in hand.
Absolutely. So last year, actually March of last year, Carlisle Printer Service and Supplies acquired from Canon Canada their Winnipeg operation. So that office, you know, now is all part of our organization. And so it gave us a jump up in our revenues because it now has created a scenario that when Canon Canada sells the Bank of Montreal a copier for all of their branches, all the branches that have installations in Manitoba will come to the Carlisle organization. So it's been fantastic. You know, for us, the key to making it work, and it certainly has worked for us, has been making sure that the people that came over from the Canon organization, you know, are a cultural fit. They think like us. They believe in our five core values.
So, okay. So then you set me up for my next question because, you know, how do you ensure that people, when you're bringing two organizations together, that the people sort of play nicely in the sandbox? I'm going to use a very unofficial business term, get along, really, right?
Yeah, and I think that the trick is as you interview those people to come along, you know, you share with them, you know, this is what our organization is about, and on our website and, you know, repeated in every one of our meetings is the five core values. And either people look at that and believe in it and really get excited about it. If they do, they're a great fit. If they don't, or they're more concerned about, for example, one of our core values is happy customers.
Okay.
So it's, you know, if you don't get excited about the fact that customers had a problem and you fixed it, and you're more concerned about, no, and that's 4:30 in the afternoon, and that's when I quit, and, you know, I'll fix the customer's problem the next day, you know, then that's not a good fit for us.
Okay.
And we've got an organization that we just work until the customer's happy.
Okay, so that's one of the values of the culture things that you've put in place. When you merged your organization, so we're going to go back to your values a little bit. When you merged your organization, did you physically locate everybody in the same place?
Yes.
Okay, so you have the luxury of have everybody in one building somewhere.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, a big challenge that large organizations have is if you're not in the same location, because culture is a trickle down.
Yes.
Like it's built every day, every hour, by interactions with different people, by the staff seeing the ownership And, you know, they're going to emulate what they see other people, the leaders, the managers in the organization do. So if they're not physically in the same location, I don't know, it just makes it much more difficult to do.
Yeah, there's an old joke, and I don't know if I get it. It's not really a joke. It's a scenario. Actually, I know I put it in my book. Maybe I'm not supposed to give a plug for my own book, but I put it in there and says, you know, the employee comes to work, and one person's asked the employee, say, Nancy comes to work, and Bob asks Nancy, how are you today? And they answer, I don't know yet. My boss is not in.
Oof.
And I've always thought that, and the first time I heard that, I thought that was a really great emphasis on, you know, people emulate the leaders. So if the leaders are passionate and love what they do and live by their values, then generally speaking, your people will too, if they fit in with that. And if not, then you get the other experience.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So I know that we had the opportunity previously to talk about values, I guess values and guiding principles. Mm-hmm. How long has it taken you guys to set up your values?
Well, we actually built these five values quite a while ago, early in the development of the company, probably in year two, when we, you know, you have to, when you start something from scratch, you got to wait till you have, you know, enough people in mass to say, you know, this is going to work.
So we better
so
say,
once you got now five employees, you say, okay, I think this is going to work. You devise your values, and our mission is to shine light on the total cost of running a printer fleet in an organization, and providing ideas to save time and money to that organization. But I really love our values, and I love the fact that our people embrace them.
Okay. So since we are talking about some of the values, because I'm a big believer that people and culture, so people, you probably have heard me talk about this before, skills, experience, and aptitude, their ability to learn, culture is about beliefs, values, and attitude. So, yeah. I mean, what we're really talking about is developing the right attitude towards creating a set of beliefs and values that everybody can integrate into. So what are some of the values that you've created in your organization where people can sort of really connect with?
Well, we've got five key values. One is, you know, a passion for happy customers. Two is sort of a determination to bring value. So it's not enough to, when a customer has got an issue, we're determined to solve their problem. Third is creativity. Again, you know, people will come with the unsolvable problem, and our people are very, very good at finding out how to solve it. You know,
okay.
Like they're really open to change. The fourth is accountability, ownership. So, you know, people in our group, in our team, don't sort of point and saying, oh, no, it's not my fault. It was the driver's fault. The logistics department did it. The billing person did it. No, everybody takes ownership that at the end of the day, it's all about the customer. And they're accountable for that.
So it's a team accountability as opposed to individual.
Yeah.
Throwing it over the fence, so to speak.
So what we try to do, we have a staff meeting, the entire staff on the Monday morning and Friday mornings. And what we will try to do is to bring forward at those gatherings examples that have happened during the week. So different team members will have shout outs to the other ones to say, hey, I got a call from ABC company saying that, you know, logistics did a great job delivering the paper. Not only they didn't just drop it at the front door, they actually took it to the four corners of the building, and they were really appreciative of that.
You know what? We're going to take a short break, and maybe we'll come back and talk about how you run your meetings and how that actually integrates into your culture really well. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back.
Success with Richard Lannan continues on 680 CJOB.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. You know, we've been having a great chat today. It is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, but you'd know that because of the intro. I know. Derek Johansson's been my guest, and just before break, we were talking a bit about people and culture, I think it was Derek, and then what do you guys do in meetings and how you try to link your people up with your values. I think there was one value that we just started to sort of pick off. Which one was that we were right at
well,
the end?
Well, our final value is this pay it forward, and probably the most the one that I'm most proud of, because I believe that as a business leader, you have an obligation to give back to the community in which you make money. I think people should buy local, because if you buy local, you're growing the businesses that are going to spend money with United Way and sponsoring little league teams and giving the money back into the community. So we have a program for our employees, and I actually stole this idea from Leonard Asper, where we give every employee gets $250 that they can donate to any charitable organization of their choice.
Okay.
You just come to our controller and says, I want to give $250 to the Humane Society. Boom, we'll send a check for $250. If they want to give another of their own money, $250, up to $250, the company will match that as well.
So then there could be like a total of $750. Did I just get my numbers right?
Exactly.
Numbers on the fly.
So it's an opportunity for, they put in $1 and the organization gets $3. So that kind of mindset is what we really want our people to understand, that it, you really have to invest into an activity. In this case, we're seeing charitable organizations to get that multiplier effect back.
To your organization.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's actually really quite cool. So you've managed to tie those beliefs and values and develop a corporate attitude. But how do you know you're actually living that? Like, I guess my question is a measurement question. Like, can you actually measure this stuff?
Well, you know, there's two areas that we measure religiously. You know, one is a tool we use is called the Net Promoter Score. And so every time we send a service technician out to do work, we send an email to the customer right after that saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, would you recommend Carlisle to a friend?
Okay.
And, you know, if they say 7, 8, 9, 10, they are a net promoter. It's a positive. If they give us a score of less than 6, they're a detractor.
Okay.
But that gives us the measurement. Now, this is a measurement tool that Apple and all the big organizations use. We're very proud that our net promoter score is 91.6, and that Apple's is 64.1. So we do very well on that. So we measure externally. And internally, something that we're actually just implementing at this time is an engagement survey. And again, I stole these great ideas off other organizations. So it's a simple 10 questions, and it will give us, it's anonymous, so it will give us the kind of feedback to see, are our people engaged? And based on that survey, we'll make a determination of how we might want to change it from a cultural standpoint.
Okay, so there's some decisions. So you've actually put some a bit of science, a bit of art behind actually understanding your culture and making sure that you're aligning with your core values.
Yeah, you know, Richard, I think the most important, and I don't want to be blatantly supporting your book, but you do an excellent job in the Set for Success book of demonstrating models. And, you know, I'm a believer in, you know, there's so many great ideas out there. You don't have to come up with your own, just steal them from somebody else. And your book is jam-packed with models that when I read the book, I would say to myself, oh, you know, I knew that. You know, I do that.
Yeah.
But I didn't have it in a format that I could hand it to people in our organization that were grooming to take on more responsibilities in a modeled way to say, yeah, this is what we do intuitively, but here's a way to have a checklist of saying I'm progressing from here to here. Your setability model chart on page 17 of your book, I memorized that because that's the one that I look at a lot. Really, it's amazing how it brings all of the things that I've been doing for 30 plus years, but in an organized fashion that I can hand it off to somebody else.
I am extremely humbled. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, but thank you very much for that endorsement on my own show. I really appreciate that. In terms of other aspects of business, I mean, we started the show off talking a bit about business growth, right? And then the sort of the ripple effects that happens between business growth and in culture. And one of the things we started talking a bit about was acquisition. I want to revisit that a little bit because I'm always interested in how businesses go around acquiring other businesses and how they make that investment and how that decision process works. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, through my career, I've done 7 acquisitions.
That sounds like a lot.
But of relatively small organizations in the scheme of things. And I've learned that, you know, the cultural fit is important, but the business fit has to be addressed as well. And to the degree that I do planning well in advance to identify what is the ultimate outcomes that I'm looking for, and merging and communicating and communicating and communicating to all parties that this is where the organization is, this is where we're going. Because not everyone wants to go where you're going. You know, it's, do you have the right people on the bus?
Yeah. Yeah.
People get on the bus thinking you're going to San Francisco, but a business is dynamic, and you realize halfway across your journey, you say, you know what? The business is no longer in San Francisco. We're going to go to Miami. And the people on the bus say, I don't want to go to Miami. I want to go to San Francisco. You know, I joined this to go to San Francisco. No, we're going to Miami now.
Yeah.
So that communication element, and that's kind of what happens in acquisitions. People get all of a sudden flipped, thinking they were going to go this direction, they're going that direction.
Yeah.
So communicating, explaining so that they can buy into the vision, the consistency of the culture, stay true to your values, will get you, you know, to the spot where all the people through that acquisition are on, feeling that they're on the right bus.
Do you have, one of the things I love along the lines of values is also these things called guiding principles. And I know that sometimes organizations have values, but do you have like a set of guiding principles for making decisions by any chance? Not necessarily that they're written out, but maybe they're just sort of in the back of your mind.
You know, I can only think that there's another chart in your book that I haven't got, another model that I haven't quite got. As I say, the trick with the values is repeating, you know, real live examples.
Yeah.
You know, here, Rob in our organization demonstrated this by doing that. Mike, yeah. Our driver, who we get compliments at least one a month of his courteousness of people and his, just as willing to do whatever they want to
make them happy, to live with that, to live with your number one value. And that's actually quite interesting because we were talking also about your meetings and how you had these, I think you call them call-outs. Did you call them call-outs?
Yeah, they call shout-outs.
Shout-outs, okay, shout-outs. Yeah. And that was really an opportunity for somebody in your staff to compliment somebody else. So it's not necessarily the person bragging about themselves, it's somebody else recognizing it and identifying it.
Absolutely. And we started this about a year and a half ago. It was our president's, Eric's idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very invigorating to be in a meeting, you know, and it's not just, we're just standing in the lunchroom and to hear one of your coworkers say, hey, I want to give a shout out to, you know, the service department because they, you know, we got a call from a customer on just what a great job they did on the latest introduction.
And they rock. So with that, your company rocks, your people rock. We'll actually take a short break. When we'll be right back, we'll wrap things up with Derek Johansson. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. Hello, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and what a show that we've been having. Now, if you're just tuning in, well, you know, we've been talking to Derek Johansson regarding business growth, business acquisition, the culture of an organization, and the experiences he's had as an entrepreneur. Derek, if there was a final thought for our listeners, what might that be?
Well, I'd give you a couple. One is, you know, you really can learn from everybody and everywhere. You know, another great book that I think is a bit of a game changer and also gives great models is a book called 4DX, Four Disciplines of Execution. Don't get that. And my second thought would be enjoy the journey.
It is just
such a wonderful life out there in business, but you got to enjoy every stage.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Our website is carlylepss.com, or you can call me or email me directly at Derek@carlylepss, printerservicesupplies.com.
This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. If you have any final thoughts, it's Richard@setforsuccess.ca. Thank you for tuning in.